RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo affirms rupiah has strengthened because of government's deregulation packages. Renowned Islamic preacher Zakir Naik to visit Indonesia. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo identified the recent strengthening of rupiah as the result of the policies and deregulation packages introduced by the government that have received positive response from the business world. Speaking in Jakarta on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo said that various policies and positive response from the business community have allowed the flow of money, the flow of capital or capital inflow. This condition automatically encouraged the strengthening of rupiah exchange towards the US dollar. President Joko Widodo did not deny that external factors had also contributed to encouraging the strengthening of rupiah. He also asserted that the government was simply trying to control the exchange rate, which has triggered a response from the business community. Rector of Darussalam University, Sarkasi, said in Gontor, Ponorogo district this chapter on Tuesday that Vice President Yusuf Kalla has fought to help his renowned Islamic preacher, Dr. Zakir Abdul Karim, Naik's visa application process for a trip to Indonesia to speak on Islam. Speaking to journalists shortly after meeting Vice President Yusuf Kalla, Sarkasi remarked that Dr. Zakir Naik is expected to visit Indonesia in April, but he is given freedom to choose the most appropriate and convenient time to undertake his trip to Indonesia. Born in Mumbai, Maharashtra, India, Dr. Naik studied medicine and obtained a Bachelor of Medicine and Surgery from the University of Mumbai. He is popular among Muslims around the world thanks to his lectures and debates widely recorded in English and circulated on some cable networks. Indonesian Muslim organization Muhammadiyah said on Tuesday that it would not issue any edict condemning members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender LGBT community as was done earlier by the Indonesian Ulama Council, MUI, and other Muslim organizations Nahdlatul Ulama and NU. Muhammadiyah Secretary General Abdul Mukti said that Muhammadiyah considered LGBT expression immoral, but that publicly condemning people affiliated with those identities and orientation would not help them return to be aware. He said that approaches using edits or verbal theological condemnation in public would not be effective in dealing with the LGBT issue. He said people who had chosen LGBT as their sexual lifestyle tended to use the example of people in their neighborhood, such as close friends or public figures, and idols to justify their decisions. Following a study that predicted Indonesia would struggle to provide coal for its power station in the near future, the government of Indonesia will facilitate negotiations between coal miners and electricity companies to set a coal price that is economically feasible for both parties. Indonesia Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Sudirman Said stated on Tuesday that the set coal price should allow companies to continue exploration and at the same time be economical feasible for electricity companies wanting to buy the coal for their power plants. The Indonesian government has continuously pushed to expedite a number of power plant projects under its ambitious 35,000 megawatt program, which is aimed at supporting the country's economic growth. Coal is expected to fulfill 66% of primary energy sources for the country's power plant by 2024, which is equivalent to 361 gigawatt hours output by coal-fired power plants. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian National Institute of Aeronautics and Space Lapan will provide space education for students at various levels in the Biak Numpo District, Papua in 2016. The head of Satellite Control Observation and Remote Sensing Atmospheric Space in Biak, Marwoto, said on Tuesday that a special place will be prepared by Lapan in Biak where the student can get the space education. He also hopes that with such equipment, the potential of talented students in Biak will be attracted to explore the field of space science. Marwoto views that headmaster and teachers whose students want to study space science can offer to help Lapan. To support space education programs for students in Biak, Marwoto said that Lapan has prepared special personnel to assist the student in getting lessons on space. Indonesia Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources has asked all parties to wait for the President's decision with regards to the exploitation of the Marcella block gas field in Maluku. Speaking after meeting with the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry in Jakarta on Tuesday, Minister Sudirman Said stated that President Joko Widodo had heard all inputs regarding the exploitation of natural gas field in the Marcella block, which is believed to be the largest in the country. He said his office as the executor presidential decision could only wait while hoping it could be taken immediately. Until now, he said there had not been any specific thought on which seemed was better for the exploitation of the field. Indonesia will enjoy bonus of demography or population phenomena with young and productive workers in 2020 up to 2030. In response to this, Professor of Population Economy of University of Indonesia, Sri Murtiningsih, remarked at the dissemination of Population Analysis 2016 at the Indonesian Science of Institute LIPI in Jakarta on Tuesday that the bonus of demography must be followed by excellent human resources. They are workers who have capability and science so that they must be facilitated in increasing their ability by Indonesian government.
Bagaimana memetik gitu kan, memetik bonus demografi dan meningkatkan daya saing.
How to enjoy the bonus of demography and increase the competitive edge. I hope the future workers have healthy, smart and productive characteristics. I suggest that there are two ways of increasing competitive edge. There are those who are working and who want to find jobs. This is a hard job.
Yang akan masuk pasar kerja, ini kerja berat.
Moreover, Sri Murtiningsih said the bonus of demography must be explored by Indonesian government as the asset of increasing national economy. She explained that the quality of education becomes one key to increase the people's capability in passing the competition. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Geopolitical Escalation Because of Iranian Missile Launch. Political escalation to the nuclear task is not over. After the enactment of resolution of the United Nations Security Council imposing sanctions against North Korea, the controversy regarding the nuclear task is likely to color Tehran's relations with the United States. It was reported that Iranian Revolutionary Guard, IRGC, on Wednesday fired a number of missiles during military exercises. Authorities in Tehran stated that these trials aimed to demonstrate Iran's defense forces and capability to confront any threat. Spokesman for Hun Minister of Iran, Hussein Jaberi Ansari, stated that Iran says Iran's missile program and missile tests in recent days during a military exercise have not violated the commitment to nuclear-related deal with six countries, the United States, Britain, Russia, France, China, and Germany. In the previous deal, it was agreed that there was restriction on testing and nuclear installation of Iran. Until now, there appears a statement or a condemnation on actions conducted by Iran. One thing that can trigger controversy or even spark new tension is a statement from Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Iranian Aerospace Division Commander Brigadier General Amir Aloh Hajizadeh confirmed on Wednesday night that his side will keep on carrying out tests on ballistic missiles. He also strongly confirmed that Iran's missile program will not be interrupted under any circumstances. The military official even said that the IRGC has never received the resolution of the UN Security Council related to the missile program. Tehran's statement related to the launch of ballistic missile is in contrast to what was stated by the government of North Korea in connection with the rocket launch that resulted in the imposition of new sanctions by the UN Security Council resolution. In contrast to Pyongyang's claim, its rocket launch is for the future development of science and technology. The armed forces of Iran and particularly said that the missile tests are intended to deal with possible external threats in any form. Tehran also affirmed that it will not halt its missile program. The question is whether the acts and statements of Tehran would ravage its deal with the six countries reached last year. Will the United States and members of the UN Security Council agree to impose new sanctions against Iran? Iran itself appears to be ready to face any risk. Therefore, to maintain the political escalation and new conflicts, necessary steps and further diplomatic approach need to be taken. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. We begin with an event on March 11, 1966, President Sukarno issued Super Semar. The Order of March 11th, or Super Semar, was an order letter signed by President of Indonesia Sukarno on March 11, 1966. The letter contained instruction for Soeharto, the army commander, to take any necessary measure to overcome the worsening condition related to the political chaos and the Indonesian Communist Party. However, this was the Super Semar according to the National Army Headquarters version, which is also recorded in historical books. Many Indonesian historians said there are a variety of versions of Super Semar. Until now, the real copy of the Order of March 11th published by President Sukarno is still examined. We continue with an event on March 11, 1990, Lithuania proclaimed its independence. Lithuania proclaimed its independence from Soviet Union on March 11, 1990. The Soviet government answered Lithuania by imposing oil embargo and economy, as well as deploying their troops. However, finally in 1991, Soviet recognized the independence of Lithuania and other Balkan republics, namely Estonia and Latvia. people of Lithuania lived along the river of Neman and Baltic Sea for 3,000 years, while in the Middle Ages, Lithuania was one of the biggest countries in Europe. In 1940, Soviet conquered this country. However, next year, Nazi took control over Lithuania, and during the World War II, Lithuania joined the war by supporting the Germany. In 1944, Soviet recaptured Lithuania from Germany and imposed pro-communist regime in it. In the end of 1980s, Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev implemented glasnost politic or openness, which led Lithuania free to find their identity back and then proclaimed an independent of Lithuania. We end today in history into 1985, Mikhail Gorbachev became Soviet Union leader. Mikhail Gorbachev was appointed as the new Secretary General and leader of the Soviet Union on March 11, 1985. Following the death of Soviet's former leader, Konstantin Chernenko, one day ahead. For the next 6 years, Gorbachev implemented radical transformation in his own people as well as their foreign politics. Gorbachev also loosened the political oppression and led reformation to improve the fragile economic system. He also worked hard to mend Soviet's relation with the US. In 1987, Gorbachev and President Ronald Reagan signed the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. However, the changes brought by Gorbachev ended with the country splitting because the countries suppressed under Soviet Union began proclaiming their independence. In December 1991, Gorbachev resigned from his position as president and Soviet Union was officially dissolved. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome back to Focus. Today's edition features National Polio Immunization Week. Indonesia has successfully gained the polio-free certificate, along with member countries of the World Health Organization, WHO, in the Southeast Asia region in March 2014. However, in two Asian countries, namely Afghanistan and Pakistan, polio is still an endemic. Therefore, all countries of the world still conduct various activities toward the polio-free world by 2020. That was stated by Indonesian Health Minister Nilam Muluk on Tuesday during the launching of National Polio Immunization Week in Mojo Songo Smart Park, Solo, Central Java. The launching was done by the First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo, followed by polio oral vaccine draping by Coordinating Human Development and Culture Minister Puan Maharani, Health Minister Nilam Muluk, Central Java Governor's wife Atiko Ganjar Pranowo, and Surakarta Mayor's wife Elizabeth Endang Hadi Rudiatmo. The National Polio Immunization Week is held simultaneously across the country on March the 8th to 15th, 2016, targeting the infant of 0 to 59 months age, amounting to almost 24 million. The vaccine used in the program is trivalent oral polio vaccine produced locally by PT Bio Farma. This program aims to strengthen routine immunization and end the immunity gap because there are still regions with low routine immunization scope. Therefore, the pin polio is still targeted to reach at least 95% at all target. National Immunization Week on or pin polio is held in entire Indonesia except in Yogyakarta Special Region because it does not use the trivalent polio vaccine anymore. The region has the polio immunization through injection system. The scope of people joining in the immunization in Yogyakarta was also high and even surpassed national target 98% over the 95% national target. Such high record made Special Region of Yogyakarta as the polio injection vaccine pilot project.
on the first day of Pins Polio. All community health centers Puskesmas in Indonesia was flooded by people who want free immunization for their children. This was stated by local media from across Indonesia. For instance, Tribun Pontianak reported the health centers of Pontianak had been crowded by people for polio vaccination since morning. Meanwhile, Surya Online reported the immunization in Gresik, East Java was not held in hospitals or health centers only, but also other public centers such as market and bus station. That was Focus for today.
Here news brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo identified the recent strengthening of rupiah as the result of the policies and deregulation packages introduced by the government that have received a positive response from the business world. Rector of the Darussalam University, Sarkasi, said in Gontor, Ponorogo District East Java on Tuesday that Vice President Yusuf Kalla has vowed to help his renowned Islamic preacher, Dr. Sakir Abdul Karim, Naik's visa application process for a trip to Indonesia to speak on Islam. Indonesian Muslim organization Muhammadiyah said on Tuesday that it would not issue any edict condemning members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender LGBT community, as was done earlier by the Indonesian Ulama Council MUI and other Muslim organization Nahdlatul Ulama NU. Following a study that predicted Indonesia would struggle to provide coal for its power station in the near future, the government of Indonesia will facilitate negotiations between coal miners and electricity companies to set a coal price that is economically feasible for both parties. Indonesian National Institute of Aeronautics and Space, LAPAN, will provide space education for students at various levels in the Biak Numfor District, Papua in 2016. Indonesia's Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources asked all parties to wait for the President's decision with regards to the exploitation of Mashallah Block gas field in Maluku. Indonesia will enjoy bonus of demography or population phenomenon with young and productive workers in 2020 up to 2030. In response to this, Professor of Population Economy of University of Indonesia, Sri Murti Ningsih, remarked at the Dissemination of Population Analysts 2016 at the Indonesian Science of Institute LIPI in Jakarta on Tuesday, that the bonus of demography must be followed by excellent human resources. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Southeast Sulawesi Province. Stay tuned. On Monday, March 7th, villagers of Wabula, Buton Regency, Southeast Sulawesi Province, gathered at Baruga, or the place for culture and custom show. They gathered to hold a customary ritual, Galampamatano. This traditional ritual is held to express gratitude to God for the abundance of blessings to Wabula village. In addition to expressing gratitude to God Almighty, Matano Galampa is also held when the traditional musical instruments like drums, gongs, and others will be stored at the traditional elders. Once the instrument is stored, then it should not be played until the convening of the party back in the hometown on the 7th month later. When the customary rituals Motana Galampa is performed tirelessly, the traditional leaders alternately dance by using traditional musical instruments. The dance is performed for 3 consecutive nights. Wearing the Bhutan traditional robe, they dance gently, followed the rhythm of gongs and drums. During the performance, they also show Linda and Poyage traditional dances. The villagers enthusiastically watch the shows. Pajoge dance is part of Galampa Matano customary ritual. Pajoge dance usually performed in the palace or residence of the nobility. The dancers are girls who come from the common people, while the audience usually from among the nobility sit in a circle. The dancers then dance in a circle, each dancer dancing alone, singing and looking for a partner among the audiences. Then the dancer will give a betel leaf to the man who has been chosen. The man then turned to dance with the girl. Listener, in addition to Pajoge dance, the Galampa Matona customary rituals also perform Linda dance. In the local language, Linda means dancing around, like the bird flying, with the wings flapping beautiful. The dance is usually performed by 3 to 6 girls. They dance by wearing kombo. The whole cloth is decorated with pads made of bronze. Besides wearing kombo, the dancers also wearing 4 layers of gloves and shawl. The Linda dance is accompanied by the rhythm of rambiwuna, or gong blowing, that has its own uniqueness because the movement of the dance in contrast to the speed of the rhythm of gong. It's very interesting performance to be enjoyed, so please come to Buton, Southeast Sulawesi Province. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Motano Galampa customary ritual. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany
on Indonesia.
segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today, we present you information about the sun. Listener, sun is the source of humans' life survival on Earth because the sun has many benefits for those on Earth. Besides being beneficial for humans' body health, the sun is used for alternative energy source too. Solar energy is energy in the form of shine and heat from the sun. In general, solar energy technology is classified in two groups, namely passive utilization technology and active utilization technology. This classification depends on the process of absorption, changing, and distribution of solar energy. The example of active solar energy utilization is the use of photovoltaic panel and heat-absorbing panel. The example of passive solar energy utilization includes directing building to the sun, choosing building with thermal mass or good light dispersion, and arranging rooms with natural air circulation. In 2011, the International Energy Agency stated the development of solar energy technology, which is affordable, endless, and clean, will give long-term big benefit. This development will increase energy security of countries through the use of the existing endless energy source, which does not depend on import. Increase sustainability, reduce pollution, reduce climate change mitigation costs, and maintain fossil fuel price to keep lower than before. These benefits are effective globally. Therefore, budget for early development should be considered as investment for learning. This investment should be used wisely and shared together. Generally, solar energy refers to the use of solar radiation for practical needs. However, all renewable energies except geothermal and tidal energy come from the sun. Solar energy can be kept in high temperature by using salt melt. Salt is effective storage media because it is cheap and it has high heat capacity with temperature which is suitable for a conventional power system. With a system connected to power lines, excessive electricity can be sent to power transmission. When electricity production decreases, electricity from power lines can be used. This is the time for people on Earth to be aware of the Earth. Moving to a good and natural energy source like the sun will be better for Earth, certainly. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany about the sun. I'm Rahma, thanks for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you a female dangdut singer Eet Sangra. To begin our program, here is a song entitled Jedak Jeduk. Happy listening. listener for more than 30 years, the singer from Bandung, West Java, Eet Sangra, has been consistent to be engaged in singing world. Having carried out pop rock genre, her passion grows more in disco dangdut genre. In 90s, she released the second album composed by Jeffrey Bulle with the song Katanya, adaptation song from an English song, Zombies. And the following albums of Eet still carried out disco dangdut genre, such as Cafe Dut, Cinta Klepekan, Dewa Asmara, and many more. Eet Sangra, who was born in Bandung May 25, 1972, began her singing career by joining competitions in various festivals. Eet has been engaged in singing since the age of 10, but at that time she sang pop and rock. Well, listener, now let's listen to a song, Tergila-gila by Eet Sangra. Enjoy. Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Memang bang, tengok, rapar dikata, apa dikum memang asal.
Listener, in 1991, Ed entered a recording studio for a pop rock album. Unfortunately, it was not well responded until she sang Disco Dangdut. In 2000, Ed Sangra released an album, Yang Ku Ingin. In this album, Ed offers melancholic music through a song, Bintangku, with acoustic touch and violin. This song was warmly welcomed by music lovers in Indonesia. But Ed feels more comfortable to sing Disco Dangdut. Besides, her falsetto voice becomes her characteristic that makes her different from other singers. Without special dance, Ed can survive in Dangdut music industry. Well, listener, to end our program, here are two Dangdut songs by Ed Sangra entitled Yang Ku Ingin and Cafe Dut. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.